The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
This was the sound in Iran. Protests in the streets. Thousands chanting, not death to America, but death to the dictator. Not death to Israel, death to the dictator. Now, we've seen protests against the Iranian regime in the past. 2009, during the Obama administration, seemed like the sounds of regime change were blowing in the wind, but nothing ever materialized in many ways because the White House, I think, undercut that, showed them that they were alone. But now that we've dropped the sanctions, bailing out the mullahs with billions, now that we've stopped doing that, maybe things will change. Something different has been happening over the last week. The protests in 2009 were made up mostly of the youth, but young and old alike are now hitting the streets. And death to the dictator. You got to remember, there is no Bill of Rights in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Saying things like that means your death, but they're doing it anyway. So now why are they taking this risk? I do believe it's because President Trump scrapped the nuke deal. Ever since he started hinting about that, the real, which is their dollar, lost 99% of its value. Imagine that. Now being traded on the black market at 112,000 to one U.S. dollar. Iranians are rushing to gold dealers to save what little they have before it all comes crashing down. The demand for gold in Iran and Venezuela has tripled. The price of food has shot up 50%. Water shortages are breaking out all over the country. Women continue to be arrested, for getting caught outside without a headscarf. This is not going to end well for the regime. The Iranian people have been pushed to the brink. They are sick and tired of seeing all of the sanction money that was freed up after the nuke deal flow to groups like Hezbollah. They're spending the money that we gave them, as we said they would, with Hezbollah, Hamas, and the war in Syria, instead of their own people. There was a frustrated bus driver in Iran. He said this via Twitter. How dare the regime send money to Hezbollah and the Palestinians when our country is in trouble? Our revolution's aim wasn't to support dirty Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, while being oppressed here. Enough is enough. The first wave of snapback sanctions went into effect yesterday. More sanctions target the country's oil industry. They hit in November. Things are going to escalate. The civil unrest is on the rise. There will be crackdowns and people will die. I hope we keep the Iranians in our prayers. The Iranian regime has been a hostile adversary of the United States since 1979. They have been a root of many of the problems in the Middle East and around the world. And if the Iranian people successfully take their country back, this is a group of people in the Arab world that understand democracy and freedom. And that could change things for the better very soon.
It's Wednesday, August 8th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Really excited to have Elizabeth hang on. Elizabeth is running for which district here? The 16th district in California, congressional candidate. She is really the rights answer to Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, who kind of bottomed out yesterday. Elizabeth has a remarkable story, and I think it's so remarkable and effective that Facebook decided to ban the video. And do we have a piece of the video? Play a little bit of the video. Do we have a piece or not? No? Elizabeth is here, so she can just tell us what was on the video. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you so much for having me today.
You bet. First of all, are you, your family, or any of your potential constituents affected by the fire?
No, actually. But in the constituents, yes. I mean, the air quality here is so bad right now. I think on the AQI, I just looked at it this morning, it was like 156 for air quality outside.
Well, our prayers are with everybody in California and the firefighters. Okay, so Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us who you are.
Yes, happy to. So, you know, my name's Elizabeth Hang, and I'm running for Congress here in California, Congressional District 16. I grew up here in the Central Valley. I went to college at Stanford. I ended up coming back to the Valley to work with my brothers to create jobs here in the Valley. We opened up a number of cellular franchises, T-Mobile in particular, up and down California. But at the time, I saw firsthand how government regulations truly impacted job creation for us here in California. And this is back when the financial crisis happened, the health care bill passed, and I was really frustrated with what was coming out of Washington, D.C. at the time. And therefore, I thought to myself, I was so fortunate to have gone to university. I could go to Stanford University, and I was student body president there, but I didn't know a single person in politics. So I decided to go to Washington, D.C. To go learn the legislative process. I ended up going to being in D.C. on and off for about 6 years, working for a conservative member in Congress, Ed Royce, down in Orange, mm-hmm. California, Orange County, working on the Foreign Affairs Committee. By the end of my time on Capitol Hill, I actually became one of the directors for this last presidential inauguration, and it was an opportunity of a lifetime to work on the peaceful transfer of power. My job was to oversee thousands of movements to make sure that we inaugurated our next president of the United States for President Trump, and oversaw 450 congressional staffers. One incredible thing that I want, a story that I want to share with you, and I remember being in when all of these movements were taking place. I remember Clinton had just arrived, Bush had just arrived. There was a lot of excitement on Capitol Hill, and my brother posted something to Facebook. He said, 33 years ago, my parents came to the United States as penniless refugees. Today, they're sitting on the platform with the next president of the United States of America. Hashtag progress. I realized at that moment that nowhere in this world would that have been possible. And it's why I continue to dedicate my life to the service of this country. And after that experience, and I was actually doing grad school at the same time, I was flying back from Washington, D.C. to New Haven to go to Yale to getting my business degree every other weekend for 2 years. One thing I would say is that never run the be one of the directors for inauguration and go to grad school full time at the same time.
wait a minute, hang on just a second.
Ever.
I would think for more than one reason. Not only are you tired all the time, but I bet if anybody found out, you weren't real popular at Yale.
I was not that popular.
Yes.
At Yale.
Yes. Yes. Well, but, neither was I.
You know, I went in, conservative. I came out more conservative.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. I really got to fine tune, free market principles,
yeah.
And and Milton Friedman concepts, and how I do believe that that's the reason our country is great, and why I'll continue to sort of defend those ideologies.
So Elizabeth, tell me about Facebook and what happened, because your video. It just tells the story of your parents.
Correct. When I decided to run for Congress, a big part of my message was great things can come from great adversity. You know, as I mentioned sort of earlier, my parents are from Cambodia. They survived genocide there and came to the United States as legal refugees. For some reason, Facebook didn't like that story, and last week they revoked my ability to advertise that message.
And yesterday they decide, oh, no, wait, sorry, we're not shadow blocking you at all. That was a total mistake.
A And that's absolutely maddening to me, right? To feel like my story is being silenced on Facebook or any other public platform because censoring the voices of Americans who have different viewpoints or just want to tell their story isn't right, and Facebook needs to be held accountable. The only thing they said to me yesterday was, I apologize for the confusion here. You know, and what is ridiculous about that is that had I been a liberal from, say, Los Angeles, this would have never happened. It was ridiculous that it took 5 days and a national movement for them to say, oh, by the way, I apologize for the confusion here. What about everybody else who are not able to get a national movement? You know, it's so incredibly important to for these liberal tech giants to have like diversity in political thought. If we allow these tech giants to be able to censor conservative voices, that's a problem here.
Do you think it goes farther than conservative? I mean, censoring any voice, I think, is bad. More voices, not fewer. We have a new poll that just came out. 46% of what they describe as GOPers say that the president should have the right to censor, bind, or silence those press organizations that have, quote, acted badly. I think that's insanity.
It's insane. It's important to have diverse political thoughts, and that's the great part about our country, right? I might not agree with 100% of what anybody says. I don't think anybody does, but you should have the right to, with the fundamentals of free speech. And it seems as if our country is trending in a different direction. We've seen firsthand how communism, socialism doesn't work anywhere in this world. Like, give me a good example. You can't find that.
They would say that, you know, the Netherlands. Socialists would say, well, it works in the Netherlands, works in, you know, Holland, works in Sweden.
Yeah, but it, you know, having like sort of traveled sort of around the world working in foreign policy, like, you know, our system isn't perfect here in the U.S., but it is the best that I've seen out there. And I'll continue to defend that, the freedom of thought, the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and all those big principles from our founding fathers.
What does it mean in California that you are that you're running? What is the movement in California? There seems to be a possibility of some movement in California. Do you think there is, politically speaking?
Politically, I truly believe that there is here. I mean, it's gone so far left here in California, and especially here in the Central Valley. It's frustrating. We've been dealing with the exact same problems that we have been dealing with for decades now. All of it's under the umbrella of overregulation. Mm-hmm. And I believe that people in the Central Valley in particular are beginning to wake up and pay attention to that, because growing up here, this is one of the poorest congressional districts in the whole country. It's ranked on like 412th poorest out of 435 in the country. We can do better.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would say the same thing probably about her district, that it's very, very poor. And you can kind of understand that's how socialism can take root. How do you present, you know, the pick up yourself by your own bootstraps kind of idea to people who are really struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are starting to realize, like, I support the president, right? And it is undeniable that our economy is at an all-time high right now. It was 4.2% GDP growth here in the country. You know, our unemployment rate is at an all-time low. And it is undeniable that things such as the tax plan, for example, put more money in people's pockets here in our district. And my opponent, Jim Costa, voted against that. And so people, although the unemployment rate is significantly higher than the rest of the country, it's a lot better than where they were 2 years ago.
Who's your favorite founding father?
Ooh, my favorite founding father. Who would yours be? I'm out of curiosity.
Who's mine?
Yes.
Yeah, well, mine is George Washington, but yeah.
I got to go Ben Franklin on that one.
Got to go
all,
Ben?
I'm all Ben Franklin.
Ben
on that
Franklin.
One.
Mm-hmm. All right. Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you so much. And keep up the good fight there in California. And please pass on to everybody in California that our hearts and our thoughts, our prayers, our backs, and some of our money going to California to help them through this tough time with these fires. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Larry in Oklahoma. Hello, Larry. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. How you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Great. Got a little bit of rain here in southwest Oklahoma today.
Where are you? Where exactly are you in Oklahoma?
Southwest corner, little area called Warika Lake.
Mm-hmm.
About 40 miles north of Wichita Falls.
Okay. Nice.
Anyway.
Okay, Larry.
I'll never admit this, certain. And we don't want Facebook to hear about this, but
all
they kind of did us a favor with blocking conservative ads. Just think of this. A week ago, we didn't know who Elizabeth Hang was.
Hmm.
Today, I can send money to her campaign, thanks to Facebook.
I will tell you this. That is an interesting thing that came up in my own mind. And I've been following her for a while and watching her in California. And when she said, you know, they blocked my ad, I thought, yeah, but I've been following you and you're on the air today where you haven't been on the air because of the Facebook thing. And I find that, you know, something that I don't think Facebook was thinking. Same thing with Alex Jones. Did you see he's what, the number three downloaded app now?
Right, because everyone's rushing. If they were watching him on Facebook, now they're going to the app and they're watching him.
They may actually end up making him more money.
Which is, it's somewhat silly because, of course, the App Store is run by the same people who banned him from iTunes.
Correct.
And started this in the first place.
Correct.
But, I mean, I don't think they should ban the app either, obviously. But, yeah, it's certainly probably going to be a short-term burst to his income.
Yes.
Right? Because people will be signing up for things and...
Yeah.
You know, he'll get a nice little attention.
He'll just fade away. He'll be isolated, you know, in his own little digital ghetto, which, oh, isn't that nice? I love the ghettoization of societies.
And the question is, how do people, males in particular, become vital without his male vitality formula? That's the only thing saving America and American men right now.
Larry.
And if male vitality formula goes away, I don't know what we're going to do.
It's not helpful, is it, Larry?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, all right, good.
Well, thanks, Larry.
Well, he's a vital male.
He's
a vital male.
He probably
gets. What do you do for a living, Larry? Larry?
Yeah,
what do you do for a living? I'm sorry if we were boring you.
No.
Okay, all right.
I'm retired.
You're retired. What did you do?
Served in the military and then was in national advertising, publishing company out of Pennsylvania.
Wow. What did you do in the military?
First, I worked on nuclear missiles, and then I was in the infantry where we broke things and killed people.
Right. And so you could always blame your hair loss on the missiles.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Although my hair is halfway down my back, so.
You still have hair on your head or just the hair on your back?
Yeah.
Okay,
no, I don't
good.
Have hair
All right.
on my back. The hair from my head is on my back.
All right.
And I never used any of Alex Jones' stuff.
Right. All right. Larry, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay. When we come back, there is something that I think is being called the most tone-deaf message of the year. I think it is the exact opposite. Next.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. I'm glad that we are joined now by Mr. Pat Gray.
Oh, me too. I love Pat Gray.
Oh, gosh. He's who so doesn't? Great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love him too?
Oh.
So are we
phenomenal.
All Pat Gray now? Is that what you're going
to say?
Yeah,
I'm egotistical enough to proclaim that. Yes, we are all Pat Gray now.
Pat, I want to play something. Now, this is called the most tone-deaf message of the year. I have the opposite viewpoint. This is a commercial now of Jack in the Box. Mm-hmm. And Jack is coming into an office, and he is, in each hand, he has two bowls of food. Okay, here it is.
While other burger places serve the same old stuff, I'm the only one with the bowls to serve something different. I mean, just look at my teriyaki bowls. Choose from steak or chicken, covered in teriyaki sauce, plus your choice of white or brown rice.
What about these bowls, Jack?
Hey, you got some pretty nice bowls there, and so does Dan.
Thanks, Jack.
Those are some nice bowls.
Everyone's gonna want to get their hands on Jack's bowls.
Come try my bowls!
Jack, the lawyers aren't comfortable with the new marketing campaign.
Why? People love my bowls.
See that right there? You can't say that.
I can't say people love my bowls?
No.
What about try my bowls?
Nope.
Check out my bowls?
Absolutely not.
How is that out of touch? That is exactly the conversation we're all having.
Well, and they prove it at the end with the lawyer.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They show you they're totally in touch with what's going on right now.
Exactly right. It's one thing just to do the first part of it, but once they introduce the lawyers and they're like, can't say bowls. There's nothing wrong with bowls.
Let's try my bowls.
But it sounds bad. So now people are starting to come out and they're very offended by this, which I'm sure Jack in the Box is fine with because people like we're talking about it. It's going viral. So, you know, hats off to Jack, who is quite possibly the creepiest representative of anything I've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean,
it's a weird...
Very weird campaign. Start from the very beginning, it was weird.
Yeah, with the guy with the styrofoam head, it's just bizarre.
It's very strange, too, because growing up in the East, there were no Jack in the Boxes.
Yes.
The only thing I knew about them is they had a breakout of E. coli.
Well, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, where I believe that happened.
Yeah, I think so.
And you never forget it. I mean, it's one of those things you're like, I don't think I'm going to go to Jack in the Box. I don't know the last time I've been to Jack in the Box.
Now, I do go to Jack in the Box fairly often, as you can see by my appearance. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought of this one day. I was sitting in Jack in the Box, and I was thinking about how I never went to one as a kid. They weren't around, and the only thing I knew about him was this E. coli breakout. And then I looked over because four kids died in that. It was a really serious thing.
Yeah, it was bad.
And this is in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I sat there, and as I looked over at my two children that I bring to Jack in the Box for breakfast, like a decent amount, I thought to myself, look at the amazing faith in capitalism that I have and how we can. This is a company that had an issue in which they actually killed four children.
They're thrilled that we're talking about
this. I'm sure they are. They're sure they're bringing this back up. But I'm still bringing my kids there.
It's the burrito place. What's the name of the burrito
Chipotle.
Place?
Chipotle.
Chipotle,
as Al Sharpton used to call it. They had that same issue. Bluebell Ice Cream had a similar issue as well.
Do not say those things about Bluebell Ice Cream.
No, that's wrong.
Do not say
that's
those.
Wrong. It was Listeria, wasn't E. coli.
If they had chocolate chip mint Listeria
I'd eat it.
Ice cream, I'd still eat it.
As soon as it came back on the shelves, I'm diving right back into Bluebell.
Yeah, I'm there.
I remember we had...
I'm eating the stuff that they're not quite sure of.
Uh-huh.
I'm still eating it.
This
could be tainted. This might not be. I'm rolling the dice.
I had it in my freezer when the thing broke, and I ate it anyway.
I remember before... I did too. I remember when we lived up north, and everybody was like, oh, Texas, Bluebell ice cream, Bluebell ice cream. I'm like, ah, come on. It can't be that good. It is that good.
No,
I don't
really know
what they do to it. I don't care what they do to it.
I think they put crack in it.
Do they?
Yeah, there's crack in
it. So good. Anyway.
It is good.
Anyway.
But anyway, they've
got
breakfast
a 68 share, by the way, in Dallas, Texas.
What?
Oh,
how good it is. A 68 share of the ice cream market.
68% of the ice cream market they have?
68% of all ice cream sold here is Bluebell.
Did that change at all?
After this, I haven't checked that in a while. So, yeah, it may have, but I don't think so because they got all their... shelf availability back.
Oh, everybody waited. I mean, stores
they
said
left it empty.
Empty.
We're waiting for the Bluebell to come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You guys get into this Kraft ice cream at all?
Kraft ice cream?
Yeah, you know how like beer, like you have like, there was Bud and Budweiser, and then now there's the Kraft
Little makers of
yeah, where they make little tiny batches with crazy ingredients. Yeah. And like, you know, you had like the old school where it was like Breyers was like the lighter ice cream. Yeah. And then you had like the Haagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry's was like the really rich stuff. This stuff embarrasses the Ben and Jerry's of the world. I mean, it is so like, it's like double the calories. It's, you take one spoonful and it's almost an entire candy bar worth of toppings.
I already look like Colonel Sanders. Why are you doing this to me?
You know, that's true. You do. and that's something we need to exploit further. Yeah. But, I feel like maybe we could get something. Maybe just try some of them.
No,
let people
know
on the air.
No.
You know, what?
No.
Sometimes the butterfat content of those is really, really high.
Really high.
Which is, I like. The higher the butterfat count, the happier I am.
I don't trust people who don't like gristle.
I would not consider myself in the gristle fan category, so we have a trust issue apparently.
Yeah, we do. We always have, Stu. We've always known. Speaking of trust, you know, we really need to pay attention to the voices that are being snuffed out and silenced. Yesterday we talked a little bit about Alex Jones, but there's an update today.
Yeah, I was just going over some of the Drudge Report headlines. InfoWars, Amazon quietly stops recommending Alex Jones products. So Amazon's in on it now. Instagram bans Tommy Robinson. He's the guy on the right in the UK.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, I know people from England who have followed him, and they all say the same thing. The guy has gotten rid of anybody around him that was any kind of extremist at all. You know, he started a group, and then it was infiltrated by some extremists, and he kicked them out, and then he disbanded it. He's like, that's not who I am. I think this guy is actually could be a really good guy.
Yeah, and yet Instagram banned him. Twitter suspends a bunch of libertarian accounts. Are you telling me if this is the way we're going to do this, if you're cracking down on hate speech, there's nobody on the left that's hateful? Louis Farrakhan comes to mind immediately. Nobody's talking about banning him, taking him off Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
They got rid of his blue check mark on Twitter.
No!
Whoa.
Holy cow. Yeah. Has anybody
okay?
heard from him? I'm worried.
We sent a relative over to check on him? Seriously, there's not a single person on the left who spewed any hate? Come on.
Michael Moore?
You've got people who have threatened the president's life.
Keith Olbermann?
Right.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. How do you feel? I hadn't heard the Amazon one you just mentioned.
Yeah.
So they're still selling his products, but they're not recommending them. I don't think I have a problem with that.
What does recommend mean?
Probably means if you're clicking on similar like content or they think
they'll say
you'll
probably like this, too.
You'll probably like this, too.
And that's how a lot of people
discover new things.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's an algorithm, right? I mean, they're just...
But it is... It's Cass Sunstein. It's Nudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know
that... You can still get it, but you have to ask for it.
Like, does Amazon have even... Like, they certainly don't have the legal requirement, but do they even have the, you know, cultural requirement to recommend things that they find to be bad?
No, I don't think so.
And it's their business model. They can do what they want. But
I don't think I'd have a problem with that on Facebook or YouTube either. If they just weren't recommending his videos, I don't think... And they can do whatever they want as far as that goes.
I have to tell you, I am... usually the recommends on YouTube are all wrong for me. They piss me off. I'm like, I don't want any of that crap. but anyway, I don't have a problem with any of these companies doing this. I want to see it in writing, and then I want to see it consistently imposed.
And we're not going to.
You're not going to. They're not going to tell you exactly what it was. They want it loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. And because we can then say, okay, you took that guy out. Okay, how about this one? How about this one? How about this one? How about this one?
Have we heard of Sarah Jung being eliminated from any of these social media platforms?
Seriously.
No, come on. I mean, that's as hateful and ugly as it gets. The stuff she was saying about white people.
I would go back to Keith Olbermann. I'd go back to Keith Olbermann. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Keith Olbermann, he's a horrible, horrible guy.
And that's why these roads are
are dangerous,
faulty to go down. You can always find somebody if mm-hmm. you know, you get,
well, if he's that, well then this
he's
person
that, and we can right. go down that road forever, and then everyone's banned.
Yep.
You know, eventually we all get to the point where everybody has a problem with something.
However, how do we put a stop to this? Do we not bring it up? Do we not stand up and remind them of their hypocrisy? Just sit down and say, okay, well, you got the right to do that.
I think that we need to defend, pretty much anybody, unless it's clear cut and the violation is posted and you know exactly what it is and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just need to point things out and send it to Twitter or whoever. Twitter's the only one that's standing, and I think they're bullying Twitter.
Oh, clearly. They're going to get tons of pressure. It'll be interesting to see if they can hold up to it, because usually these companies don't in the long run, even when they initially
do. It's
going
to be the only one.
But again, we can fight about it. We can talk about it. We can protest. We can do all those things. But, look, there are other services out there right now that exist that allow whatever conservative message you want to be posted. We talk about losing your voice. It's losing the audience that are Twitter customers. It's losing the audience that are Facebook customers. You don't have a right to their audience. You don't. And, there's plenty of places on the internet you can post. You can post whatever you want. Basically, whatever you want, as long as you don't violate the law. There are those extreme restrictions. But outside of that, you can do it. You do not have a right to go on their service and post these things, as long as they don't violate.
What is it that you could say that would violate things more than this?
I mean, child porn, things like that are against the law. I think outward there's certain levels of threats, right, that are going to be prohibited, terroristic threats.
I'm holding in my hand a book called The Anarchist Cookbook, published in 1972. The guy who wrote it, he was a kid, grew up in the 60s and was a radical. He changed his mind a few years later and has tried to get it off the market ever since. When Columbine happened, they had a copy of this book, and he was horrified and did everything he could to get it taken off. Can't get it taken off because he doesn't own the rights to it. It's sold in Barnes & Noble. It's sold on Amazon. If this is okay for Amazon, for Barnes & Noble, which I'm fine with them selling, I really am. If this is okay, what speech is not is not okay? This book shows you how to make gas, to kill people, how to torture people, how to really hurt people, how to make bombs. Wow. I mean, have you ever seen it, Pat?
No.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
There's a great documentary, by the way. Do you remember the name of it off the top of your head? We'll get the name of it here. It's on, I think, Netflix, that actually has an interview with the guy.
Yeah, he's dead
now. Before he died. Yeah, right before he died. It just came out a few years ago.
Right.
How do you get this stuff evenly applied then?
Yes.
I don't think we can.
That's why the freedom of speech is our cornerstone.
Yeah.
You have to have the freedom of thought and the freedom of speech. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
I don't appreciate it as much as Glenn does, but slightly.
Well, I was lying, Pat.
Oh, okay. So I'm even less than the lie. But the truth is, Pat Gray Unleashed will be coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV networks. You should watch it and enjoy the podcast as well.
Glenn Beck.
So there's this woman up in New Jersey, and she's standing in line at a Wawa, which is Circle K or 7-Eleven. She's standing in line, and this guy is fumbling with his wallet, and he realizes he doesn't have enough money to buy the things that he was buying. She had already said to herself earlier that, if somebody ever is in front of me, I'm going to help them out. If they're ever, they can't afford the food, I'll take care of it. So she's standing behind this guy, and she just thinks he's a, nobody kind of washed up kind of guy without money. And he's kind of scruffy looking. And she says, I've got that. He says, oh, my gosh, that you don't have to do that. And she's like, no. I'll help you. She pays the bill. He turns around and he says, thank you. What's your name? She introduces herself. He says, I'm Keith. She said, you look just like Keith Urban. And he said, well, I am. It was Keith Urban
really?
That she was helping out. no word on why he didn't have enough money in his wallet, but he didn't have enough money in his wallet. She thought she was doing a good deed for this out of luck guy who just didn't have any money. Turns out to be Keith Urban.
That's a great scam. Isn't if you're that? Keith Urban. Just constantly going to places without
your wallet. I tell people
that
all the time. No, really, I'm Keith Urban. I look different on TV or on stage. But
I don't mean everyone should pose as Keith Urban. I'm saying if you're Keith Urban,
no,
don't
wreck
bring
it
your
for
wallet.
Because I stand in the 7-Eleven and I'm like, I don't have enough money. I'm Keith Urban. Anybody have any money?
Has that worked yet?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. But it has for this fraud up in New Jersey. This guy is claiming to be me.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.